Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear, understand, and obey what you say to us today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. The reading from the gospel comes from the book of Mark, chapter 14. And just a word before I begin, you will hear harsh words from Jesus about the one who is to betray him as he is at the supper. But just remember this, he will forgive from the cross. Judah's problem ultimately will not be that Jesus can't forgive him, it will be that he cannot forgive himself. Hear then these words from Mark. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man goes as written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. O Lord, on this holy night, who would dare speak and try to convey this meaning? Only by your grace, only by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray once again that through these human words, your holy word might be heard. Amen. Where do you want to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover? The question is asked on the eve of Passover by Jesus' disciples. Being the good Jews they are, these disciples wonder where Jesus wants to eat the Passover meal. Like New York on New Year's Eve, Jerusalem would have been packed with visitors at Passover. It would be no easy task to secure lodgings and a place to share a meal. Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover? Perhaps it's easier for these disciples to focus on logistics and mundane details rather than on what Jesus had been saying recently. Just before this passage in Mark's gospel, Mark tells us about a meal the night before when an unnamed woman had anointed Jesus' head with costly perfume. When the woman got scolded by the disciples and others for wasting money, Jesus had instead commended the woman and said, "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. The disciples said nothing then, and they say nothing now in response to Jesus' words. Maybe they were just hoping Jesus didn't mean it. Or maybe if they ignore Jesus, it won't happen. Instead, they talk about Passover logistics. I wonder if you know anyone who would rather focus on logistics rather than deal with sad talk, talk about sacrifices and sorrow or grief and death. I wonder if that's ever described you. The problem is that something very important, something history-making and life-changing is about to happen, and these disciples are not ready for it. When it comes to talking about time, the Greek language has an advantage over English. In biblical times, the Greeks had two words for time. Chronos referred to everyday schedules and events, the things you might put on your calendar, the things you plan for, like finding a place to celebrate a meal with Jesus in Jerusalem. In contrast, the other Greek word for time, kairos, was used to describe special moments, holy moments, those times when time seems to stand still or there is so much meaning in what is happening that we can't take it all in. But yet we want never to forget those times. The meal that the disciples are about ready to experience will be a Passover meal, but it will be so much more than that. It will be Jesus' Last Supper with him. It will also be a foretaste of the kingdom of God, of heaven itself. The disciples are about to eat bread and drink wine as they might do at any time, but they're to be fed and filled this night in a way that will be unlike any other meal they have ever had. The problem the disciples have back then is the trouble we often have right now. You never know when chronos is going to be transformed into kairos. It is usually only in looking back that we realize that those seemingly ordinary chronos moments were actually true kairos times. We never know for sure when the holy realm of God will break into our mortal time. We never know for sure when or where or how, but we always know who. God, the creator of time and of us, is the one who has come in Jesus Christ to penetrate human time, chronos, and redeem it, make it sacred. God can transform any moment or any time from ordinary into extraordinary, from mundane into holy. God and God alone can transform bread and juice from a vine into a holy and life-giving meal. We cannot manufacture these holy kairos moments. We can only experience them. And what Mark 14 reminds us is the best way to experience holy kairos moments in the midst of our everyday chronos time is to stick close to Jesus and to pay attention. You have chosen wisely to be here tonight. And you choose wisely every time when you gather with God's people for worship, or when you come to God in prayer, or when you seek to follow Jesus into the world, because Jesus has come to save the world, and there is no place in the world where he is absent. Sticking close to Jesus is important, but so is paying attention. What Mark 14 also reminds us is that even disciples who travel with Jesus can still miss the holy, the kairos moments. We have to look for them at work or listen for his presence. Be attentive to where he shows up, because the God we encounter in Jesus Christ is always showing up, is always capable of surprising us. Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover? Jesus responds then by giving instructions. These disciples have something to do. There, look for a man carrying a jar of water, an unusual sight in a land where it was ordinarily only the women who carried the water. Then they are to follow him. He will lead them to the house where they are to share this meal, a house with a large upper room. When it comes to holy moments and holy times, we are not mere spectators. We are also participants, given assignments in God's unfolding plans. We have something to do, a role to play, even though we do not fully understand what is happening. As one commentator on this text notes, Jesus, even on the night when he is betrayed, does not play the role of the tragic figure who bravely stands alone against a harsh and indifferent world. No, at this moment of great, if not supreme significance, Jesus is willing to be with his disciples. He exercises his lordship in this strange yet utterly faithful way. He does not act alone, but always in the company of those whom he has called. The disciples are to be part of all this. That is the way it will be from here to the end. Oh, to be sure, Jesus will be left alone, but not by design. That's not his intention. He takes three disciples with him to the garden. Of course, they will fall asleep and leave him alone. But he never banishes disciples or asks them to leave his side on the way to the cross. Of course, they will abandon him. They will be too scared or despondent to stick with him. But on this night, that all lies still ahead. Here the disciples obey him, and they play an instrumental part in the preparations for this meal, this holy meal, this holy Kairos moment. They do not fully understand how this Passover meal is going to be unlike any previous Passover meal, but that's okay. They don't have to understand. They simply have to trust and obey, be patient, and pay attention. Jesus can take care of the rest. It will only be later that they will really understand what happened on that night. In Ken Burns' documentary on World War II, there was an interview with surviving soldiers who fought in the final months of the European War. They recalled how they spent a particular day. One sat in a foxhole all day. Once or twice a German tank drove by and he shot at it. Others played cards and frittered away the time. A few got involved in furious firefights. Mostly the day passed like any other day for an infantryman on the front. Later they learned they had just participated in one of the largest, most decisive engagements of the war, the Battle of the Bulge. It did not feel decisive to any of them at the time because none had the big picture of what was really happening. This is still how Jesus operates. He gives us something to do. We rarely will see the big picture except sometimes after the fact. But even then, we may not fully understand. But not to worry. All we need to do now is trust and obey. One of my favorite prayers is one found in our Presbyterian Book of Common Worship. It reads as follows. Eternal God, you call us to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we have that courage, when we trust and obey, even though we do not now fully understand, then we can play a small but important part in God's great plans. Then routine meals can be transformed into life-giving meals, and ordinary moments can be transformed into Kairos moments. And when we do not have the courage, when we do not pay attention, when we do not listen to his instructions, well, that's not what Jesus wants. But he can take care of that too on the cross. On the day following this meal, he will go to the cross in love so that we can be given new life, new opportunities to be part of his gracious plans for this world. Friends, we never know when Kairos will break into Chronos. But we know this, Christ is here, and we have a part to play. Let us stay by his side, listen closely, and do what he tells us. Jesus will take care of the rest. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.